We will now hear testimony from people who signed up to testify in opposition. And that would begin with Nancy Prentice.
First of all, I'm Nancy Prentice from Farmington. And thank you, Representative Fumiga and the rest of the committee members. I was confused when I checked off opponent. Basically, for a stringent regulation of seaweed and having a good management plan, I was in opposition to the section of the bill that would repeal the protection that's been established for Cobb's Cook. So I just want to make that clear. So I do speak from the perspective of a marine biologist. I teach full-time at the University of Maine at Farmington. My primary load is marine biology. And I'm also a shorefront property owner in Whiting Bay, which is part of the Cobb's Cook Bay complex. We purchased this land over 25 years ago before the great craze and people discovered Downy, so we were quite lucky to get that before that took off. But through those years, 2.5 decades, I've come to know practically every rock and crevice along that extensive undeveloped shoreline. It's just an unbelievable pristine habitat. Scuba diving for over 30 years, I've spent countless hours observing rockweed forests underwater. It's truly a virtual garden. The branching fronds provide a three-dimensional complexity that you can never get. You can never visualize that at low tide unless you're underwater with it at high tide. Numerous scientific studies have documented this great biodiversity of organisms, and their life histories are integrally linked to the Ascophyllum rockweed. Included are those valuable to the fishing industry. I have looked at video showing the lobsters and amongst the Ascophyllum nodosum. I've seen scallops that I could pick up in 3 inches of water in Cobb's Cook Bay. And after scallop diving for many years, I couldn't believe it. Of course, it's illegal just to pick them up. And then the wrinkles, the periwinkles. Representative Cassidy was talking about the people that she represents of the Cobb's Cook Bay region. She's from Lubeck, and she spoke specifically to her contingents that were and are being affected by the overharvesting of the rockweed in specific places of Cobb's Cook. About 15 years ago, I also participated in some UMaine research with Bob Vadas and Brian Beal may not remember, but I was part of that crew. And that specifically looked at the biomass of the large laminaria kelps, the rockweed, and just demonstrated the great biomass. It's almost unparalleled anywhere. I know this habitat. I'm not an expert with the seaweed, but I know it. And I know the bay is documented to be the richest ecosystem in the state, has more bald eagles than anywhere. So I primarily focus on invertebrate fauna, specifically the polychaete worms. I routinely photograph the periwinkles, the sea urchins, the crabs, and other animals, which I use in my teaching. And I look for these regularly as I'm walking along the shoreline at low tide. 2 summers ago, I started noticing a general lack of these invertebrates, specifically the Litorina obsutata, the smooth periwinkle. It comes in a variety of colors. I couldn't find it as it used to be really abundant within the rockweed. During this time, I also noticed a dramatic and sudden change in rockweed coverage. While walking over the rocks, I noticed that in some places, those long, thick tangles of rockweed were gone. And in places, it looked like the rocks had a pretty ugly haircut. It was dramatic. Last summer, I observed the mechanical harvester boat just offshore from my property. They were working along at mid-tide in a shallow area, and the endless chug, chug, chugging of that powerful motor droned on and on through the afternoon. Immediately, I could see the vulnerability of the intertidal and subtidal ecosystems, which are dominated by the Ascophyllum rockweed with holdfasts that are up to 400 years old. That was a surprise to me, and I read about in the published literature. I realized that these harvesters were not just overhauling vast areas of rockweed, but they were also sucking the animals into the vacuum machine. And I honestly don't know how you can harvest this rockweed without taking the animals. Many of them are microscopic. Many of them you don't see unless you've got a microscope, like the little tiny bryozoans, which provide food all the way up the food chain. I asked my Trescott neighbor on Crow's Neck Road what was going on with that seaweed harvesting in Whiting Bay. And I know him. I had his daughter in class, actually. He relies on wrinkling to help pay the bills. They do wrinkling. They're cutting tips of fur to make wreaths. They're doing the worming, the clamming. Wrinkling is a huge part of their income to just help make ends meet. He adamantly told me I should register my property with the Rockweed Register, this local, from Trescott. He told me about how he and most of the fishermen he knew from Washington County were extremely opposed to the cutting because they could see how the removal of the rockweed was jeopardizing the ecosystem on which their harvest depended, whether it be lobstering or wrinkling, but it was really more the latter, this hand-picking. And I go there on nice days. I'm not there in midwinter trying to make a living by hand along those icy shores. I then started to read the published literature on the rockweed ecosystems and also reviewed the law regarding the fisheries harvests in the intertidal zone. Our rockweed represents a natural wealth for the coastal Maine. Why is it that we can allow a small but very vocal minority to strip away prime kelp forests on which countless invertebrates, fish, waterfowl depend? Who pays for this? My tax bill is magnified due to the fact that the cost or the tax is applied for every foot of shoreline frontage. I pay a yearly tax bill of $1,100, and that amounts to, and I do this, I tuck a $20 bill away in an envelope under my bed each week throughout the year, and that comes out to the amount of money I need to pay that bill. It's been said that these landowners are from away. Well, I'm from Farmington, but I'm not a wealthy landowner. We built a cabin with our bare hands. There's no electricity or running water. We simply wanted to leave the place as pristine as possible. And I've always considered ourselves to be stewards of this land, this amazing ecosystem, to help preserve it as long as we are able to keep up with these taxes. According to state law, our property does extend to the mean low tide mark. We have always welcomed the clammers, the wormers, the wrinklers, and we have always allowed them to cross over our dry land to get from one side of the mudflat to another. We do not welcome these rockweed harvesters to come in with the mechanical machines. Their stripping of the rockweed in the intertidal zone, in my view, is illegal. Will they provide me with compensation and pay my taxes? I'd love to get an $1,100 check in the mail for the seaweed they're taking from my cove. How many thousands of dollars have they taken from the Whiting Bay or Cobscook Bay? Yes, the natural wealth offered by this rockweed ecosystem is being stolen at $50 for a permit. Why Cobscook Bay? It's easy. Out of sight, out of mind. There are very few landowners that have shorefront property there. Very few people are there year-round to see this happening. And if they were there, who has the kind of money to take this to the courts? Okay, it hasn't been established as to what's legal, but who has that kind of money? Very few opportunistic workers derive benefit from this mass harvesting of seaweed in comparison to the countless many. I'm talking about the countless many, especially in the Washington County that I know, who rely on fish and harvesting invertebrates for a living. We need to guard against this alteration of Maine's rocky intertidal system, and it is being altered. Yes, the seaweed grows back, but it grows back very differently, or other species come in. That's been documented. You can clear cut a forest, and you get a whole different crop of trees. Trees always grow back, but it's very different. It is time for us to follow the example of the Canadian maritime laws, for which over the past two decades they have prohibited the mechanical harvesting of rockweed. That is why the Canadians are here, because they can mechanically harvest here. Clearly, it is because such harvesting results in non-sustainability. You have the power to really affect good change and stewardship for our fragile coastline. It's imperative that we protect Coatscook Bay by keeping the protective measures already in place, and to also develop a stringent law that will protect the entire rest of the coast. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Devin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Prentice, you talk about holdfast living up to 400 years. What was the technique to use to determine that age? And can you provide that data, please?
First of all, I don't have my PhD, so I'm not a doctor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But that makes people assume that just because I'm at the university.
Pardon me?
Never mind. In terms of how that's been established, I don't know. I read that in the published literature, and when science is published in peer-reviewed literature, you know that it's been scrutinized by experts in the field, so I took that, and perhaps Robin will speak to that.
Well, could you provide the references, please? You can email them to me. I've emailed you. You've emailed me.
Right.
So if you could provide those references.
Seeley and Schlesinger. Yeah, Robin Seeley's paper that came out in 2012. Seeley and Schlesinger, 2012.
Okay. You talk about the loss of Litterina. Over the past 4 or 5 years, the price for wrinkles has literally shot up. In fact, it shot up so they were more valuable than clams in Coatscook Bay. Suddenly you had all these clammers that switched and were now targeting periwinkles. Mm-hmm. Do you think that had an impact on the loss of periwinkles in the area?
The Litterina I mentioned is a different species. It's a small little yellow one. That's not the one they're taking for food. The one they take for food is Litterina litteria.
Right. Okay. So
so it's a different species altogether that they're taking.
All right.
Yeah.
And then you talk about the powerful motors. There are a lot of boats that work on Coatscook Bay that have powerful motors. And my question is, do you think that because a boat has a powerful motor, does that necessarily mean it's going to affect rockweed or any population of macroalgae?
I guess I put that in there because it added to my annoyance of watching them mass harvest the seaweed and very close to shore.
Noisy boats annoy me as well, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're having a negative impact
on... No, the noise doesn't. In fact, I rescued a wrinkler's boat once. It was floating away with a high tide, and I swam out to get it. I had no problem with that boat. It's the harvesting, I guess. You're right. The noise doesn't affect the ecosystem.
That,
you know, the birds.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.